Max Payne. Fenn Isles was
2.
Yeah, I was going to say, was Fenn Isles even born?
Fenn Isles was 2 years old.
Let's go, wow! Wow! Oh my god! Yeah, and I mean, we already get millions of downloads.
Alright, hey everyone, welcome back to the Freeride New Zealand podcast. We're back again, broadcasting live from Karen Bennett's kitchen,
aka the podcast studio.
The new studio. We're here to talk about Mont Saint Anne this week. And what a race it was. People are saying best downhill race of all time.
Ooh, that's a big call.
It's a huge call.
Yeah. No, it was pretty exciting though.
Best downhill race of all time? Question mark.
Yeah. I don't know. James Rennie would probably like that. Can we call it the greatest of all time? Because he does love the greatest of all time, so.
Was it the greatest of all time? Name one race that you think was better.
There's been a lot that have been pretty exciting to watch, but I don't know. It was probably the most exciting. Well, it was the most exciting this season. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Let's dial it back a little bit to earlier on in the week. We didn't really talk about this in the last one. We kind of just skipped over it. But how did you... Did you follow the qualifying and everything?
No, I was kind of away over the weekend, so I missed a lot.
Riding the gorge, weren't you?
Yeah. Good. So it was awesome.
Nice.
Well done to the Nelson Mountain Bike Club. They're doing a superb job up there. So
cool. Nice.
But yeah, so I missed a lot of kind of what was going on in practice. What I did catch, it looked like Blinky was hauling ass, and everyone seemed pretty impressed with that.
He's had two really good qualities, hasn't he? He was eighth in qualifying, and... yeah, I mean, his quali looked wild.
Mm. Obviously he got caught in the rain and had a crash up top, so that was a bummer, but he looked like he had some form.
Phil Atwell, 14th place qualifier.
Yeah, Phil's surprised the hell out of me this season.
Something's happened, isn't it?
Yeah, he's been riding so good.
I see something that was pretty interesting is Dakota Norton, the American, privateer, qualified in 16th place.
Yeah, he's kind of come out of nowhere, really. Like, I hadn't heard of him until probably about a year ago, and I didn't realize he was actually, I thought he was a free rider, to be honest, for a start.
A name like Dakota Norton.
Yeah, I don't know, and
he talks about himself in the third person.
Right.
Dak Norton.
Yeah. So, yeah, and then, I just kind of thought he was like a social media racer, free rider, but... Seems pretty legit.
I only heard about him last month when I met him over in Europe. Mm. But he seems quick.
And he was third or fourth at US national champs.
Nice kid as well.
Last week, so.
And he's young.
Mm. So yeah, could be someone to watch out there.
Nice one. Apart from that, like no crazy standouts. The top qualifiers coming into the race at Mont Saint Anne basically reflected the podiums that we've been seeing regularly. It was Gwyn, Minar, Bruni, Brosnan, Hart.
Danny Hart. It's that top five that are basically the ones that are always there. So,
and I mean, Aaron Gwyn's first place quali time was at a 4:02.974. What was his race run? Did he beat it, or was
no? No, he faster? Was. He was well back. He was. It was like a. I want to say maybe at least like a 4:20 or something like that. It might have been a little bit quicker than that, but it was back. I did notice that, but I didn't pay.
Yeah, so they
enough attention.
Never got close to that quali time. I'll skip ahead to the ladies now.
Yep.
Because I'm sure you are just
well up with that.
Yeah. You can't wait. Tani took another win. She was 5.7 seconds up on the other girls.
Yeah, that's a solid win.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's almost a Rachel Atherton in her prime.
Yeah.
Last year.
That was like a standard Rachel win last year.
She was 12 seconds up on MSA last year. Did you watch the girls race?
I only got a chance to watch the men's.
Did you get to see the highlight, Rachel's highlight?
Yes. Yeah. I don't know how she held on to off the Steve Smith rock drop.
How good was that?
That was the... craziest save.
Fully crossed up left and then fully crossed up right and then just like skids over the rocks.
But then her back wheel was up off the ground and I thought she was going out the front door and she held it together somehow. And
She like when she came down, she was like smiles and celebrations, but that was loose.
Yeah, that was gnarly.
So loose. Great. So that was the women's race.
Miriam Nicole still holds the overall.
Yep.
I don't know how many points, but yeah, that would have been a good stat to know, kind of going into the last round. But man, that would be a massive one, you know. Well, I mean, who's right there? I guess it's Miriam, Tracy, Tani, maybe? Yeah, in the top three.
It's not Rachel.
No, definitely not Rachel. But I mean, for any of those three, this is huge to win, you know, win the overall.
Yeah, Manon Carpenter did not start.
Yeah, I don't know what went on there.
And I'm talking of random did not starts. I heard a stat or a thing in the broadcast. Brendan Fairclough did not qualify for a race last weekend, which is like the first one that he's not qualified for in a very long time.
Yeah, ever, I think.
Ever?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that was the first qualifying he's ever not made it into.
Oh, right. Anyway. Yeah. Okay, so the race day. People have been comparing it to Lourdes. I said it was very similar.
Yeah, so it was kind of hard to tell watching the broadcast as to what the first guys were actually racing, you know, what their conditions were like. Obviously, it wasn't raining like it was. I mean, you could see Dean Lucas. He was clean and dry. But I did notice a bit of mud splatter. But the thing is, those woods and everything stay pretty damp if it rains there. So that could have just been some puddles from there.
Because it certainly wasn't like last year. It wasn't super loose and dry.
No, it looks like it's kind of been tacky and damp there the whole time. So it was kind of hard to tell what the earlier guys raced in. But, so the broadcast, when we started, it was basically raining pretty hard by that point.
Yep.
And you saw some guys race in some basically absolute shit conditions from there on in.
Well, it was forecast to rain, so everyone knew what they were going into. So yeah. I imagine that every mechanic went up with two.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did they move the schedule forward in the end?
I was literally going to ask you that question.
I think they did because I didn't actually get to see what happened on, you know, race day with it, but that morning when I checked, it was supposed to start at 7 a.m. New Zealand time, and then by like 7:30 the race had, no, 8:30 the race had finished. So I've got a feeling they did push it back, which, I mean, good on them for trying, but then it comes to this point, you go, probably would have been fairer if they just left it.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on that? Like, should they be altering races to try and catch the good weather window, or is it just racing?
Yeah, I don't know. It's such a hard one because, you know, like, obviously Lourdes was just unrideable for the top guys, but this weekend it was still, obviously, the top five, except for Dean Lucas, basically raced in the worst conditions. But I mean, that's...
Is it Dean Lucas and...
Who else is Mike the top Jones. One? Yeah, Mike Jones, sorry.
Mike Jones.
So yeah, that's a real tricky one because, like, obviously you would have loved to see them all kind of race in the same conditions, but I think that comes down to the type of tracks as well, because Lourdes is super hard pack and slippery, whereas Mount St. Anne's a lot of big rock slabs in that, where they still had so much traction. Like, you could see it wasn't super slippery for them or anything.
Yeah.
So they could still push, but they were just getting hammered by rain, obviously, you know, and you got tear-offs and goggles and whatnot to deal with.
Visibility was the biggest issue on the day. Because you can race in the wet if you can see where you're going.
Yeah. So I don't think traction was an issue. And, I mean, you could tell it obviously wasn't... Mount St. Anne's not like a typical, like, gluggy, muddy track, because Gwyn and Moyer both raced on dry tyres. And, I mean, those two guys rode extremely well. But you could also see their bikes, you know, they weren't covered in mud. They weren't glugged up or anything because it was raining so hard. And I think that kind of showed that this track was a bit of an exception with the rain. But still, I don't think there's much they can do. Going back to the original question, they just kind of got to run it, I think.
Yeah, I mean, because a lot of it comes down to TV schedule, doesn't it? Like, they have a slot where they have to run it. If they're not done, you know, they don't get a second chance. They can't just push it to the next day.
And you imagine if they move it and then say only the top five or the top three qualifiers, you know, get screwed by the rain. And like, that's shit for them.
Yeah.
And that's your top guys that are getting, whereas they, everyone should have been racing in the same conditions. So I don't know. I think they probably should just leave it where it is, unless they have a really clear, like they can be like, oh, we can change this because it rains every day at 3 o'clock. Or
yeah, I imagine it's going to be a question that's going to come up for next year because it's happened twice now.
Yeah.
I mean, people were like, oh, it wasn't quite as severe as Lord's, but it certainly looked like it on the live cast.
Oh, there was a lot of rain coming down. You could see where puddles were forming over the course of it that hadn't been there before.
Yeah.
But it just came down to the type of track that it was still rideable. So, whereas Lord's, you could see was like ice. Those guys were like tiptoeing down there.
Well, put yourself in the shoes of a rider. Put yourself in the top 20 shoes. You've seen your peers go down earlier on an averagely dry track, and you look outside and you can tell it's wet and you know it's bad, and you see that everyone's coming down 20 seconds slower. What's your attitude to the race then? Do you try and take it easy and get down, or do you just throw caution to the wind? What do you do?
That's a hard one. I think for that kind of track, like if you have raced it in the past, which all those guys have, really, they kind of know what to expect when it's wet. And so I think they were probably just of the mindset of like, fuck it, we've got to do it. So
we're here to race.
Yeah. So they just pinned it, and you know, I honestly think no one really tried to do a super cautious run in the top 20. I think everyone was kind of pushing as hard as they could, and some people were just, you know, obviously we had like Blinky crash and a few other guys crash, but you could still go.
Like Troy said when he was getting interviewed at the start, he's like, oh, no, I'm not that worried. I'm just gonna go as fast as I can and see if I can win. I was like, vehicle.
That's the thing. Troy, Danny, Jack, Aaron Gwynn, all of them pouring rain, you know, and they still killed it. So yeah. I think they were of that mindset, like, hey, we're here to race. We're, you know, second to last race of the season. They need as many points as they can. There's no time to do a safe run.
Yeah, because there's no one sitting out the front that's like, oh, I just need to get down the hill.
No.
I mean, you've ridden there before. Was it a similar track?
Yeah, it's pretty similar the whole way down. They had changed a little bit at the very start this year by the looks of things. So they had changed a little bit, but essentially that track has followed the same path down the hill for like 19 years.
Okay, just about. So when you were riding there, and you come in, like those rock gardens look like the gnarliest rock gardens all year.
That's super grippy though.
And okay, that's the question, because when it starts raining and it's pouring down like that, what's going through your head then? Are you? Because I would just be like, shit, rock slippery, and I would slow down. What are you as a rider doing when you come into those rock sections?
It kind of comes down to the person's mentality, I guess. You know, you could see guys that did visibly slow down and ride it cautious, and then you saw guys like Bruni and Moya who just sent it.
And that's where you're making your time, isn't it?
Yeah, and those guys were making like a second and a half through that section on other people because, you know, like Gwynn lost a second and a half there.
He stalled up on a rock, didn't he?
Yeah, but that rock section's kind of crazy because you come into it on that straightaway and everything, it's like curbs constantly. They're not even square, like they're pointing backwards. They're backwards kind of overhangs and into slabs. So you're just constantly hitting these massive square edges and you see like Gwynn hit one and hung up real bad.
Yeah.
Unclipped and just about went down. And
it's the mechanic's worst nightmare, isn't it? You see them rebuilding rims just constantly.
Yeah. Yeah, that place is it's a wheel wrecker for sure.
Yep. So you would just, what would you do as Kieran Bennett? Would you send it through the rocks or would you take the cautious line?
I think I'd give it a crack.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like rocks. I've never really been too scared of rocks, so.
Because yeah, there didn't seem to be that many issues through the
rock. If it was different and if it had been getting mud dragged into it, then it would be massive. Yeah, it would be thing, different.
Because the mud's slippery, but the water on the rock just sort of washes away the mud, and they probably become slightly grippier.
Yeah,
it's not grippier, but.
But if there's water on them like that, then
rocks are rocks.
You're pretty good. Like some places you come to and the rocks are always going to be slippery, but those rocks are kind of pretty grippy. So
what was the hardest part of that track?
Just holding on for a full run. It's so brutal and fast. And you're just getting punished the whole way.
What did Danny hit, like 72 Ks, or was that Gwyn, 72 Ks yeah, down on the speed track in the wet, in the mud?
And that looked like the slipperiest part of the whole broadcast was them coming down into that corner. Like, Bruni was two-wheel drifting down it.
Was that, there was also that off the Stevie Smith drop, and there was a big sweep and right-hander, that when it was really wet, people were just squaring that off. Like, it was rad.
Yeah, that was pretty cool to watch, so.
Okay, so how did everyone go? Ed Masters did something reminiscent of Rupert Chapman at Lord's.
Yeah.
He came down with a good time, with a solid time, and was in 8th place when the rain started. And, 13th overall.
Yeah.
After that, so he kind of just sat there and got some really good points.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good kind of spot to be in coming into the end of the season. Bump yourself up in the overall, but I'm not really sure where he's at, but...
I don't know. It's a good little bonus.
Yeah.
Now, imagine being Dean Lucas. So he comes down pretty early on, gets in the hot seat, and then sits there for hours.
That would have been so stressful for him.
Right.
He would have been sitting there going, holy shit, I might win this now.
Because on one hand, you don't want to win like that, because it's not, you know, he even said it himself. He's like, this is not how I want to win a race, but I've had a bit of bad luck recently, and this would be really good. So he just sat there for rider after rider after rider, and some of them were getting pretty close, and then just nothing until that very last minute. He must have been just biting his fingernails. And
I think it sounds weird, but I think he's probably glad he got second.
Yeah.
Because otherwise there would have always been this asterisk next to his win saying, well, he raced in the dry.
Yeah.
And everyone still would have been talking about everyone else, and it would have got a little bit overshadowed, but...
Like the Fowley... And then people that would have to say,
oh, who even remembers that he won the first round?
It's now coined a term called doing a Faoli,
yeah.
Which Dean Lucas almost did a Faoli.
So, that was pretty, Dean's a sick rider.
Yeah.
And he deserved a podium. Like, he rode good, and he beat a whole lot of other good people that did race before it rained as well.
I mean, he was over the quality time of Gwyn, so he probably wouldn't have won, or he definitely wouldn't have won.
No, like he said in an interview afterwards, you know, like, it was a good run, but it was a top 10 run. But he'll be pumped. It looked like the Intense boys had a good night that night.
They were the manufacturer's team of the race.
They celebrated that by the looks of things.
Yeah, well, they know how to go for it, so... what else do we have? I mean, for New Zealanders, wasn't a great day.
No, obviously we had Blinky crashing.
Ed was actually the fastest, and then we had Chapman, Rupert in 31st place as the second fastest New Zealander, followed by Brooke in 47th place, Blinky in 49th.
Brooke got hammered by shitty conditions.
And Wynn 58th. But, you know, everyone else was coming down in that plus 10 seconds, plus 20 seconds bracket, regardless of... And, like... Brooke was, he was punished. It was probably the worst rain of the whole day when he came down.
Yeah, it was pretty bad because we had pretty patchy Wi-Fi where I was, and I tried to watch it. I turned it on my phone in the morning, and I saw like 15 seconds of Brooke's run, and it just looked horrific.
You were like, oh,
that I was good. Like, oh no, that's not good.
And now what happened on Blinky's run? Because watching him, I know he went down, but he was just looking like so wild. He was on the back wheel, on the front wheel, and he was off the ground. He was pedaling,
didn't stop pedaling anywhere.
It was insane. Like, he was damn.
Yeah, so obviously he had a crash up top somewhere. You could see mud on him, and so that was a bummer after his good quality. And
I really want to see he's there now. He's almost back. Yeah. Like, let's just see him put one together.
And he would have been having so much fun in those conditions too. He loves riding that sort of stuff. So
wild. But probably the wildest run of the day, maybe bar Rachel's insane.
And I mean, once you go down, regardless, obviously you're losing time, but you basically can't crash without putting a hand down. And no matter where you put your hand down, you're going to get some dirt and mud on it, your glove. And so that's going to make it hard to hold on for the rest of the run. So it's always going to be a battle from there on. And he obviously crashed pretty high up in the run too, so it's a bummer.
Let's talking of crashing, Greg Minnaar.
Yeah.
So he was taking it. He said he was taking an averagely safe run.
Yeah, which I guess for him, a safe run, even in those conditions, he, could have still been a top 10, could have been a top 5, I don't know. Yeah. But and then
So he got
washed out over a berm, didn't he?
Yeah.
And his bike cartwheeled down the hill, and he went down and picked it up, and he says that he came back up through where he went off.
Yeah.
And he has been DQ'd, but I hear that he's going to...
protest it, I believe. Because, yeah, I mean, even if he had gone down and if he had got back on the track, he was plus 20 back from Gwyn, you know, like he was 75th place or something.
Yeah, 8
points. So his day's basically screwed. But that 8 points, which we'll get into a little bit later, could make a big difference at Val d'Isère.
You wouldn't throw that away, would you?
No, and like, not at all. And he's...
He's been in it for such a long time. He's not going to come back on the track like part
one. He is smart enough that he's not going to cut the course. Like, he got disqualified 2 years ago at Cairns.
Yes.
And that was a matter of, you know, a few hundred millimetres where he went back in around another pole.
I believe that was almost like quite a grey area as well. And then yeah. Kind of like, shit, we need to...
But if the dude's lost 20 seconds, what are you doing disqualifying them?
Yeah.
It's not like he crashed, cut the track 10 metres down, got back on and only lost two or three seconds. Yeah. But like, he's already 20 seconds back. And he's obviously, it sounds like he, from what he's saying, has made an effort to walk back up to where he went off.
Yeah.
And he would have been thinking about that. He would have been going, well, shit, like, I can't get disqualified now because that's going to lose maximum points. So that'll be interesting to see what comes out of that, whether anything does come out.
And who's the person who said that he hasn't gone back on? Is there
it'll
a camera?
It'll be a course marshal, I bet.
Because if there's camera footage, then that's easily proved. But if it's,
his
word against their word.
You would think that would have probably been seen by now. You know, if someone's, you know... If someone crashes in this day and age, and there's video footage, it's up pretty quickly from a race around a top guy. So I would say it's probably a marshal on the side of the track, and they've gone, number one.
This guy in the red.
Qualify.
Yes.
Maybe he was a Gwyn fan. I don't know.
Ooh, you reckon? Sabotage.
Yeah. Could be.
So, I mean, yeah, we didn't really see anything happening in the race until Jack Moyer came down. You know, it was just... It did look like it was another repeat of Lourdes, but then sort of Moyer came down and he was pinned.
Yeah, and it kind of looked like he basically gave everyone hope. Mm. And they're like, well, we can do it.
Because everyone at the top would have seen him do that. And they would have been like,
because they were watching on. Too. You could see a few times in the broadcast, Danny and Greg were standing there watching it. And like, it was quite funny to see. They're standing there obviously talking about what's going on in the race.
Yeah.
Two guys that are like battling for wins. So, but... Yeah, so I think Jack kind of showed everyone and got probably everyone standing down in the rain watching pretty amped up that this could still happen. And
everyone left standing in the rain because if you see the crowds, there really wasn't that many people there.
You could hear them light up as it got further down to, you know, the last few guys when it was getting tighter and tighter, like Danny obviously getting really close and Troy and then Gwyn, they were just going mental.
I tell you who was going mental the whole time, Claudio and... Rob.
Yeah.
Just that was so much excitement from the commentary booth.
I wish Claudio would commentate and not just go, wow! Wow! Oh my god! Yeah. I just can't stand it.
Yeah. But yeah, they were excited, so
that
was good at least. But yeah, the whole grandstand is basically emptied.
How do you feel about Danny lifting his bike over his head like he won the race?
Here we go. Point from me. Danny Hart's finish celebration took me by surprise. It was the same as when he won. I thought perhaps he thought he had won.
I wondered the same thing. I really wasn't sure what was going on. But, I mean, obviously he was pumped because he still managed to pull into a second at that point. So
absolutely. And fair enough to be pumped.
Yeah.
Fist pump. Punch the sky, bit of this, but when he picked his bike up and whatnot.
I think that was a little bit excessive, and I wasn't sure about the kind of just walking around in a circle with his arm out, like, but hey.
I thought maybe he thought, like, I've done it. I'm the champion. I've done it again. Like,
I was positive he thought he'd won, but I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah.
Danny, maybe. Write us an email, jay@freeridenewzealand.co.nz, and tell us your thoughts, Danny, if you're listening.
Tell us what happened there.
But yeah, so it was interesting.
You and me both.
So where'd Troy Brosnan end up? He was fourth?
Gwyn, Lucas, Hart, Bruni, Mike Jones, Troy
Brosnan. Sixth place, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he was... I mean, he obviously put in another stormer, and he is...
he was like a hundredth of a second off Mike Jones.
And he's
so he was so close to getting a.
He's still there in the points too. He's not that far back. He would have been happy to, you know, put down a good run and probably be a little bit happy to see Greg all the way back there because it kind of holds his hopes a little bit closer.
If we look at this top 20 here, or you just there's some names in there just you would not expect to see. Like it's just peppered with who have we got in there? Kirk McDowell, Bruce Klein, Karen McKinnon.
Yep. That's my guy.
Josh Budden, and I've only ever seen this guy once, is Ortiz Vasquez.
Yeah, don't know who that is.
Yep, so there's a couple of the guys in there. That Mark Beaumont's in there. G got a top 20.
Mark Beaumont, who's like struggled to qualify by the looks of things for like the last 2 years and is must be like 40 now.
Yep, Fishback's in there.
Oh, man.
Elliot Jackson took 10th.
Yeah, good job, Elliot.
So, yeah, it was just sort of a lot of people getting points that they weren't expecting, I'd imagine. Top 20 is full of randoms. I mean, Logan Bengali got 28th place.
He was, he's been racing for a long time.
I know, but he's not racing at that level.
No.
He races for KHS, right?
Yeah, he just makes a shit ton of money just racing the US Nationals because he's ridden for KHS for like 10 years.
Yeah, there's a bunch of privateers and whatnot. But,
yeah, we were racing together when I was over there racing. A long time ago.
Yeah, he's a household name.
Mm.
So that's cool. Like, I don't know, it's a bit of fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a bit of a laugh. That's kind of like, Intense took best team of the day. Santa Cruz Syndicate points for Quali. They had all three of their riders in the top 10 in Qualies. Mm. Top 6, actually. They've done great this year. They've had such a good year.
A couple of years ago, I was like, what is going to happen when, you know, it was more so I was thinking when Petey and Minar retired, but as it turns out, Petey and Bryson kind of retired. Probably shouldn't use that word for Bryson, but then, like, the team that they've put together with those three, it's a solid team.
And I'm not going to use the word better because, you know, the old Santa Cruz Syndicate had a charm of its own, but it's definitely way more consistent.
Yeah.
Consistently. Like, top 10 qualities consistently. That's... Do you reckon they're going to win overall?
I have no idea what the points are like even for that, but... Yeah, I mean, I've just
They're definitely in with a shot.
I've been impressed even with... like, I mean, obviously we know Loris is fast, and Luca has been fast. But, man, they've been consistently... All three of them so good, isn't it?
Like, they're not fast... And then have a shit week and then not qualify and then do really well.
Yeah.
They're just like consistently fast and up the top. And
there really isn't another team that has all of their riders that high up every weekend.
I think the only one would be Specialized Gravity.
But then you've got an elite and a junior.
Yeah, and a woman who's not actually up there. But
I know what you mean, and I mean last year they were like that with Loris and Loic, but yeah, I mean...
Well, then next year when Loic and Finn are both...
In elite.
Yeah, that could be interesting.
Yeah.
I digress.
But, yeah, I mean...
So how are we looking going into the overall then?
Well, I mean, after Gwyn brought the ruckus to that ass at Mount St. Anne, and...
Should we actually talk about that? I realise we haven't...
Yeah, we haven't really talked about that.
Everyone's just watched this, and they know this is one of the greatest runs of recent mountain bike history.
Even in comparison to those guys that were ahead of him that still did good runs, like Danny, he was riding so smooth, and so... He was
1.8 seconds up after stalling on a rock in the rock garden.
Mm.
So
at one point he was a full 2 seconds up on Dean Lucas's run in the somewhat dry.
Yeah.
And he killed it. Like he was also what I noticed. He had lines that no one else was going near.
Mm. I saw that too.
There was an inside on the really fast kind of open corners up the top that looked awesome. Everyone else inside
at the end as well.
Yeah, and I wasn't too sure on that one because I don't know, it obviously worked for him, but I was kind of surprised when he went down there. But
he still cleared the jump, whereas who was it that didn't
Someone just about went over the bars. I think it was Jura's on the black track. But yeah, Gwynn just he pulled out a pretty storming run.
Yeah.
In the storm.
Yep.
And yeah, I mean, for what we saw, you couldn't see a lot of the really key places where he's probably making up time, like up the top. But man, he smashed it.
Yeah, I mean, you won't even be able to watch a GoPro replay of that because it would just be too wet.
Yeah, it would just be puddles on the screen. But
and he said he had water in his goggles and
shit. I didn't hear that. But
he said he got water in his goggles like nearly immediately, and you couldn't really see where he was going at the start.
I did hear him say he was just trying to avoid rocks that he could see had orange paint on them.
Yeah, so whatever works, man. That guy is just—he is really good.
But he's
a talented bike rider,
without a doubt. That was one of the best runs you'll see. I mean, you go back to like Danny winning Grand Prix by like 11 seconds or whatever that was in the wet, but that was, yeah, that was storming. And then Sam Hill, Grand Prix again,
2007.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those three runs. It's hard to say what's better than what, but
yeah. I mean, yeah, that was 10 years ago now. You didn't think that things have changed, like bikes are probably a little bit better and
yeah, whatnot. And I mean, that was at a point too where Hill was, it wasn't a surprise to see him winning races by 7, 8, 9 seconds regularly. But that was still crazy that he crashed, went down, covered himself in mud, and still got a second in that race. Yep. But that's right, that was 10 years ago. I stopped reminiscing.
It was your time.
Yeah.
Everything's pretty tight at the top at the moment. So knowing this now, so we've got Gwynn, Hart, and Brosnan and Bruni and that all in there with their good placings this week upon good placings last week and so on. So that battle going into Val d'Isère must be tight. What light can you shed on this for me, Kieran?
So going into Val d'Isère, which I think is 2 weeks away, Minar's still just up on top, 932 points, and Gwynn pulled himself up quite significantly. He's got 899.
First place. Oh, so he's
33 points back. Which I'll go. And also, Troy is on 855. So he's actually only 44 points behind Gwynn still. So it's not huge because, I mean, you got. And then that's 77 behind Minar. So it's not a massive point swing back that way. Although it will be a lot harder for him to pull.
What are the points for first place qualifier plus a first place win?
250 is the maximum point, so that's 50 points for qualifying, 200 for finals.
Okay.
I tried to find the full points breakdown today, but could not find it anywhere on the internet.
Yeah.
All I know is one thing I actually had a look at, excluding Lourdes, I went through and the difference between first and second in points at, you know, each round this season on average has been 52 points, and Gwynn's only 33 behind.
Yeah.
And so that basically, I mean, it's hard to say because anything can go on in qualifying. You know, Gwynn could flatten qualifying and Greg could put a full 50 points into him or vice versa. And it's hard to make assumptions right now, but
This is good. This is exciting.
This is making an exciting race. I think I'll actually have to watch this one live.
It's a big call.
But, yeah, I mean, essentially, I think what it's going to come down to is whoever wins at Val d'Isère is going to probably take this overall.
Yeah, unless something mad happens.
Yeah, unless crazy happens. But, yeah, I mean, when it comes down to it, if everyone's racing on an even playing field, looking at those average points between first and second, that's qualifying and finals, obviously, put together. And
Gwynn likes Val d'Isère, doesn't he?
Yeah, Gwynn's done pretty good there. Although last year at World Champs, his wheel blew up, obviously. He had that explosion, his run of terrible World Championship races that he still continues on with. And, just kind of going back, I went back and had a look through the last three events there, basically. So, looking at the guys who have been the top five this year, pretty much, you know, Greg Minar, Aaron Gwynn, Troy Brosnan, Danny Hart, Bruni. I just missed Luke Bruni. Danny won there last year, obviously, world champs, smashed it. Troy was fourth, Greg was seventh, so all pretty tight there. I can't remember whether anything had sort of really happened to Greg there last year or whether it was just his run, but go back to 2015 and Gwynn first.
Yep.
Greg 54th.
Ooh.
He was fourth place quali at that race though. So it's still
whatever happened.
Still there.
I don't remember it, but
Troy Brosnan was third and had qualified first.
So there's no clear winner, and Bruni's been out, like, injured for both of them or something, isn't he? So.
And then go back to 13 and G. Atherton won. Okay. Manar was third, Brosnan was fifth, and Gwynn was sixth. So, like, those three guys that are battling in the points have all had kind of...
Brosnan sounds like he's super consistent.
Brosnan looks really consistent there. And
it's a track that reminds me a little bit of Andorra in the dry.
Yeah.
Which suits him, and then, but also suits Gwynn.
And to be fair, I think he looks a lot better on his Canyon than he did on his Specialized.
Yep.
So he's had good results there in the past on a bike that personally I don't think suited him that well. So this could be the one that Troy comes, you know, the next one that Troy comes in and kind of steals away.
So he's running in third place at the moment. And if everything goes his way, you know, if...
He's still there. Like, it's... When we, you know, like, when I go back in 52 points average, he's only 77 back.
Yeah.
And that's a, you know, that's an average over a normal race of first and second points. So,
yeah, so he could...
It could be a matter of those other, you know, Greg and Aaron could have bad races.
And he could,
and they might be first. Fourth and fifth, and he could go first, and he could take it.
Yeah.
So it's... It's pretty all up in the air going to this last round. There's definitely no one with a clear kind of advantage, I think.
He will just be packing it at the moment because he knows he can get there. And also, Gwynn knows he can get there. And Manar wants it. But it sounds like Manar's had a bit of a bad run with this place.
Greg's in the hot seat, for sure. You know, like, he's...
It's his to lose.
Yeah. And that's got to be the hardest position. But then he's also probably one of the most, you know, he's been here before.
Without doubt, the most experience of any of the guys that are going into it. So he's not going to have the pressure. So he's done it four times already. Mm. So he's going for his fifth.
Three times
already. Okay, so he's going for his fourth. Gwynn's done it twice?
Twice, I think. Maybe three times.
Let's say twice.
Yeah.
We should know. Troy Brosnan hasn't done it.
No.
So... He's going to have the most, because he's so close to taking this and he's on the form of his life.
Yeah.
So for him, you know, it's his to win, but for Greg, it's his to lose.
Yeah. I think if anyone's in the most relaxed position, it's Troy. And he's had good races before and he's like, I didn't have fourth and fifth, unfortunately, in points, but I mean, at the end of the day, no one remembers who got second. So...
No.
He's basically in a kind of not much to lose position. He's just going to try and pin it. And
he's got everything to gain. So just so like Gwynn's just sitting there going, yeah, I'll probably have a good crack at this.
Yeah.
And like Gwynn's got a real good shot at getting in there. He's so good.
I mean, look at this though. This is Greg Minnaar's overall World Cup wins. 2001 was his first win.
Yeah.
16 years ago.
Yeah.
Half of, probably more than, probably 80% of those people were not racing bikes back then. Finn Isles
was two.
Yeah, I was going to say, was Finn Isles even born?
Finn Isles was 2 years old.
2005 was his next one, so not that much later on. And then 2008, which was his first year with Santa Cruz. So we're coming around nine years later that he is in, you know, this resurgence and potentially could win another World Cup overall.
Wonder if he did win, if he'd just quit while you're at the top.
Yeah, it'd be interesting.
But then he's so good, why not come back and do it again next year?
And I think he obviously loves it. He wouldn't be still racing at 36 if he was over it.
Yeah, 36 isn't that old, eh?
No,
yeah.
Not really. So, I would...
Keep going, Greg.
I couldn't see him pulling the pin.
I hope not.
Especially because it would kind of leave Santa Cruz a little bit in the lurch for a third rider.
Yeah, because you go from having like that wealth of it. He's got like two riders experience, whereas that would just be two pretty new riders.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, and then who else do they pick up? everyone else is pretty locked into deals. So,
how are you feeling about the race next week or in a fortnight's time? If you had to make a prediction, well, you know, it's pretty, I couldn't push it further than it already is. I'd say somewhere in the Gwyn, Hart, Minar, Bruni, Brosnan mix up, it's going to be a podium of those five people.
I wouldn't surprise me at all if that was the exact top five. It's such a roll of the dice with them in there. Danny's obviously riding good. He won there last year. Gwyn's riding good. He won there 2 years ago. Troy's always been pretty consistent there. Greg's just always fast.
And is Loic's currently in the lead. Everyone's coming into this like off good results, off a solid season.
No one's injured. Hurt that I hear, nothing that I know of. So, and I think, yeah, apart from Minar, no one's got anything to lose. They're all just punching to try and win that final round. And
I'm excited.
Yeah, it's going to be a good race. Yeah, like I said, I'll probably actually watch this one live.
Yeah, should have a watching party.
Yeah,
get whoever's in the country involved.
Not many.
Broadcast live
from the Free Ride New Zealand studio.
From someone's living room.
While we just make yelling noises like Claudio does.
Yeah. Let's not do that. Yeah, so that's how I see it going down. It's going to be a Gwyn, Hart, Bruni, Brosnan, Minar finish in no particular order.
I agree.
That may be the podium somewhere in that top five. Wildcard? Let's say it's going to be dry and dusty.
Baldassol always pulls out a random... You know, there's always some random one that comes out and has a good result.
Bernie Kerr last year, wasn't it?
Yeah. Conor Fearon, you would like that one?
Yeah, that would be one that I'd agree with as well, if it's going to be super dry. I'd like to see Blanky do well. I say that every week.
Jack Moore, I'm going to... Not that he's that much of a wild card, but I think maybe actually look for him to be in that top five.
Yep, he's definitely got a shot at that top five. Fastest Kiwi? Blinky?
Yeah, Blinky. Yeah. Brooke will probably smash some rocks with his bike. Blinky or Brooke?
Yeah, Brooke. Yeah, okay.
One of those two, I think.
All right.
I think Blinky will be looking to try and finish the season strong. He'll be wanting to smash it.
Yeah, man, if he'd sat on his bike, I wonder how he would have gone.
Yeah.
He looked wild. It was awesome to watch. I'd watch that shit all day.
He's entertaining to watch, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so on that note, let's wrap it up for this week. Thanks everyone for joining us. If you could be so kind to jump online, subscribe, download, tell your friends, share it, give us a 5-star rating, all those kind of things that help us know if this is being listened to by everyone and if it's worth continuing.
And if you want to sponsor it and give us lots of money to continue this fantastic broadcast.
The more money you give us, the better it's going to be. We could be podcasting live or nearly live from events if you have lots of budget.
Yeah, how good would that be?
Yeah.
And I mean, we already get millions of downloads, so imagine how many listens you'd get.
Millions?
Well, maybe I stretch that a little bit. Yeah,
okay.
I've never been that good with math.
You can ask us for the confidential numbers. You know, we have a media pack if you want that.
There's at least five.
There's at least five. Yeah, there's more than five.
That's good.
But yeah, definitely jump on, do all that kind of good stuff. Tell us what you want to hear. Tell us if it's worth continuing.
Send us your questions on the social media and we'll talk about them.
Yeah, we've had two podcasts now without any James Rennie questions. No quickfire rounds.
It's not working at the moment, so he doesn't have a lot of free time.
Good. Yeah, remember to jump online and follow us on the social media. I'm Freeride New Zealand on all the social media.
At Kieran Bennett 36 on all of them.
So thanks very much for listening and joining in, and we'll be back in a couple of weeks with a bit of a season roundup, and I suppose we'll chat about world champs.
And we'll tell you who just won the World Cup overall.
Yeah.
See ya.
Till then. Bye.